You may be sitting, if you would, turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, you might want to open your Bible today. I'm going to read this entire story, but it's going to be on the screen. But my subject today is the skinny goat and the fatted calf. I told my wife this morning, I said, I hope this sermon makes some sense to other people. She said, it's a little late to be wondering that, isn't it, Jerry? Well, you know, my sermons are all like that. I just wonder, God, you know, I put this thing and I've got it together and these are the ideas you've given me. But Lord, I am depending on you. And I have a prayer team around me. Before we come into this sanctuary, I pray that last prayer. And on my way, I'm saying, and standing here now, I'm saying, oh God, I need that anointing. But in this story today, there are two sons, and they represent two classes of Christians. There's the prodigal who went away from God, and he was backslidden. And then there's the elder son who was at home in the father's house, but the elder son was out of fellowship with the father. They were both poor when they could have been rich in God. But both of these boys, they were poor. The elder son needed a great change, just like the prodigal who was away from God. They both needed to repent. They both needed to confess their sins and to claim their inheritance. Now, this story, we're going to read the entire story, but this is a story of the father's love. He loved the son who went astray. He loved the son who stayed at home, but neither of these boys claimed the total inheritance that was theirs. Let's read that story. Luke 15 and 11, we'll begin there. Jesus is speaking. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the young of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the son gathered together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Luke 15:15. And he went and joined himself to a city of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And he came to himself. I remember the day I came to myself. I said, you need Jesus, boy. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son that was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now look at verse 25. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He said to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet, it was fitting that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. My subject, the skinny goat and the fatted calf. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, help us to receive a kingdom mentality. Help us to receive and to understand what you have prepared for those that love you, for those that worship you, for those that are in the family of God, born again through the blood of Jesus. As Paul prayed, open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten us, Lord. Help us to realize all the treasures that belong to us in the Father's house. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we all talk about the Father's love for the younger son, the prodigal, who takes his inheritance and he journeys into the far country. He lives wild. He runs with the party crowd. He wasted everything he had, and he ends up in the hog pen. And he finally comes to himself, and he realizes what a mess he's in. And he said, even the servants in my father's house are better off than this. And he goes home, and when the father sees him coming, he takes off running to meet his son. Brother Philip Pearson told me that it was sort of degrading in that culture for a father to take his shirt. We were walking into the church, and we've been praying about this. And he said he tucked his shirt inside, which was not a sign of dignity, but of humility. And he does that so he can take off and run to that boy who had been gone. And when he gets there, he grabs him. He hugs his neck. And he kisses him. He's so glad to see him. And the father commands his servant, bring the best robe and put it on him. And then he said, put a ring on his hand, a jewel ring, and shoes on his feet. And then he said, I want you to kill the fatted calf. And so you've got the best robe, a jewel ring, new shoes, the fatted calf, and this boy's still smelly and filthy, and the father says, give him the best. Give him the best that I have in the house. Hallelujah. And when the older brother comes home, he gets upset and he refuses to go into the party. He refuses to celebrate that his brother has come home. Now, in this story, the elder brother, he had always been in the father's house. I want you to think about people that sat in the church. They've never gone out into deep sin. They're just sitting in the Father's house. He had never gone away from the Father's house. And because of that, he had two great privileges. First of all, he had the great privilege of unceasing fellowship. Secondly, he had complete access to all that the Father had in the house. Hallelujah. But in many ways, he was worse off than the prodigal. For even though he had always been at home, he had never known, he had never understood, nor had he ever enjoyed the privileges that were his because he was in the Father's house. All the fullness of fellowship and all the joy that from being in the Father's presence, they had been waiting for him all the time. Yet here he is, has this complaining spirit, this negativism about him. He doesn't understand the Father's love. He's just in the house. Everything in the Father's house was his to enjoy. Yet he never asked for it. It was offered to him. It was available to him. But he never received it because he never asked for it. He was satisfied right where he was, with no desire to know the Father intimately. He's like a lot of people in church. They don't read their Bible. They come to church on Sunday morning. Maybe they might come back sometime. Some people only come back twice a year, Easter and Christmas. And there are people that are saved. They don't come to church. But there are things in the Father's house, hallelujah. And you got to go to the Father's house, and you got to be around people of like precious faith. You got to get the anointing that's on the house. So if you come to God's house, the anointing that's on this house, it will follow you home to your house. I watch people come in this place, and I watch God transform their lives. Those that stay, guess what? They're blessed, 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 and blessed. I'm not saying this is the only church that's blessed. I'm just saying there's a blessing on this house There is anointing on this house. And if you come to this church and hear the word of God preached under the anointing, doesn't matter who preaches in this pulpit. I'm not going to let them come if they're not going to preach the word of God. If they came and preached, I might let them finish and they didn't preach the word, but I'll apologize for them later. Amen. Cause we're going to preach the book here. And I want people to understand what God has done for them, what's available to them, what's available because you are a child of God. You're not like the world out there. Matter of fact, we're in the end times and the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Are you one of those prosperity preachers? Yes. Do you want a poverty preacher? I don't want anybody preaching to me about poverty. God is a good God, and if you'll sow your seed and if you will work and if you will apply yourself to learning, God will give you wisdom. God will give you knowledge. God will give you understanding. God will open doors. God will promote you. He's a good God, and he cares about everything in your life. Look once again at what the Father said to the elder son. Luke 15:31. Look at this. And he, the Father, said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Isn't that beautiful? The Father said, all I have is yours. So everything in the Father's house was his to enjoy, yet he never fellowship with the Father, and he never asked for it. The younger son, he had been off in the far country, away from the home, away from the father, away from all the privileges that were in the father's house. The elder son had been at home all the while, but he was not enjoying what was in the father's house. You know, there's so much more to our salvation than just being saved. Full salvation, it includes unceasing fellowship with the Father. I want to spend time with my Father. I want to read the exceeding great and precious promises. I want to get up here loaded down with the word so I can give you a overview of what God has for you. So I can whet your appetite that you will seek God and you'll get revelation of what God did for you when he saved you. There's a whole lot more to this thing than just being saved. How about continual fellowship with the Father? John said, I want you to have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. I want fullness of joy, don't you? Now, there are two things that can hinder your fellowship and cause God's favor not to shine upon you. And that is the sin of unbelief. And that's the other thing called S-I-N, sin. You cannot sin and have what God has purposed for your life. It takes faith to please God. It takes obedience to please God. You must believe that God is. You must believe that God will reward you if you will diligently seek him. All the gold is not on top of the ground. The earth, the oil is deep in the heart of the earth. The treasures, they have to be sought out, and you have to diligently search for some things. And there are great treasures in this book right here. Hallelujah. And it takes faith to please God. And God says, whatsoever is not of faith is unbelief. Let me say that again. If you want to read it, you can read it for yourself. It's in Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, S-I-N. The Bible also says God is love. And because God is love, God can't help but love you, just like he loved the two sons in this book. We see his goodness toward the ungodly. We see his compassion toward those that go astray. God is a good God, and it's just God's nature to bless you. So get around somebody, get in a church where the blessings of God is flowing, where the anointing of God is flowing, where the word of God is preached, so you can get knowledge, because knowledge is power. And if you will connect yourself to the Most High God, God will connect you with everything he's purposed for your life. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. God is a good God, and just as it's the very nature of the sun to shine, it is the nature of God to love. Hallelujah. And I'm here with some good news this morning. God loves you. He loves you when you're right. He loves you when you're wrong. He loves you when you're weak. He loves you when you're strong. God is love, and God loves you. You are created in the image of God. You've been born again. You've been made a partaker of God's divine nature, and God has purposed great things for your life, and you need to get a hold of what God has for you. Somebody go and praise God. God loves you, and don't you ever forget that. Hallelujah. He told the elder son who was in the house, he said, all I have is yours. And yet he was complaining. And he was complaining because his father was feasting and rejoicing over the prodigal son who'd been away from home that came back. And his father goes out to the elder son and he says, son, what's the problem? He's back. My son is back. Your brother has come home. Son, come on in. Let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. And notice the words of the elder brother and look at his mentality. He said, he hasn't lived right. He's been sleeping with everything that comes along. He's been living like hell. And he comes home and you give him the best robe. You've given him a jewel ring. You've given him new shoes and you've killed a fatted calf. Look at his attitude. You wonder why he had never enjoyed the things in the father's house? Do you have any inkling to why he couldn't enjoy? He has this complaining spirit on him. He's jealous of the father that had been away and what the father had done for the son that came home. And there are a lot of people that go away in the church, yet that like me, I'm a prodigal. They come back. And praise God, when I came back, let me tell you, when that nail-scarred hand touched me and started me, I felt joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know if you've ever been down so low that you had to look up to see the bottom, but when I come home from combat, that's exactly who I was. I had nightmares for 17 years, but when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, praise God, 39 years, September 26th, hallelujah. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I received such joy and I understood the Father loves me. I didn't even like me, but I realized, and I told my dad, I said, Daddy, I don't even like what I've become, but I found out God loves me. And I want to tell you, because I'm a partaker of His love, God loves you. I can preach the love of God. I can preach it with anointing. I can preach it from experience. I can preach it from the book. I can preach it because I realize something about God. God is for me. God is for you. God loves you. God is excited about you. Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The elder son said, look at him. He said, I've been here all these years in your house, and you never gave me a kid. You never even gave me a skinny goat. The literal translation of that word kid is a skinny goat, a little bitty skinny goat. And that was the mentality of this elder son. The elder brother, he had a skinny goat mentality. But I want you to notice the mentality that the father had. He had a fatted calf mentality. And you either have a skinny goat or a fatted calf mentality. God doesn't think skinny goat. God thinks fatted calf. God thinks best robe. God thinks new shoes. God thinks jewel rings. Hallelujah. God wants you to bless your life, and God delights in blessing you. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. God is a good God. But to get the fullness of God's blessings, you will have to fellowship with the Father constantly. You'll have to spend time in the Word. Don't just get the sermons from somebody else. Get your own sermons. Read the book yourself. Hallelujah. You'll find the answers to life in this book. I love my Bible. Hallelujah. The more I read it, the more I love it. I'm like old Jeremiah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Glory to God. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Why are you so excited? Because I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The elder brother had a skinny goat mentality, But God has a fatted calf mentality. And you will have to ask God for things. You'll have to ask him for things that are in the Father's house. And you will either have a skinny goat mentality or fatted calf mentality. Sometimes when I talk about the blessings of God to people, somebody always tells me, well, you know, Jesus said you'll always have the poor among you. Well, that's true. It's in the Bible. But you don't have to be among the poor. I said you don't have to be among the poor. You don't need a skinny goat mentality. You'll never achieve anything if you just sit by the wayside. You know, the soul went out to sow, and some fell by the wayside. I said, I'm so glad some fell by the wayside, because I was by the wayside. Woo! But God dropped that seed over there, and God dropped seed where you are, and God just keeps dropping it. And then he calls people to preach and said, I want you to sow my seed, because my word will do what I said it will do. Hallelujah. So ask the Father. Amen. Ask him for things. God said, you have not because you ask not. See, there's no lack in the Father's house. There is plenty in the Father's house. Jesus said, I have come from the Father's house, and I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Father told the elder brother, all I have is yours. But the elder brother, he didn't believe it. He had a skinny goat mentality. He had a skinny goat faith. And it kept him from getting all that the Father had purposed for him. And there are two things, you know, that if we're not careful, there are some things that we will not receive from the Father, because what he has purposed good things for our lives. But if you're not careful, the devil will rob you of the inheritance. Now let's look at what the writer of Hebrews said, because the writer of Hebrews, he encourages us to walk this life out. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus and our great high priest has passed into the heavens, and it shows all types of things that I can't go into in this sermon, but I love to read the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. And the writer of Hebrews, he encourages us to lay aside every weight and everything that would hinder us in our walk with God. We're in a race. And I want you to think about the Christian life as being a race, the most important race that you would ever run. It's the most important race that you would ever run, because you are running for your life. You are running for eternity. You are running for the more abundant life that Jesus spoke of here in the nasty now. And your faith will work for you if you will work your faith. And you need fellowship. Go on, praise him, Sister George. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting some good amens, because your faith will work for you if you will work your faith. There are miracles all over this place. And we know what faith will do. Now look at Hebrews 12 and 1. The writer said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. There's some things that await you down. And the sin which does so easily beset us. The most besetting sin is the sin of unbelief. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you don't receive him as your Savior, you are doomed. You are doomed for eternity in hell, and you're going to suffer a lot of things in this life. It says, lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run our race with patience. That's perseverance, steadfastness. Run the race that is set before us. That is a race that you're in. You got to get that. That I have not arrived yet. You know, I used to be a runner. I'd run relays. But I was fast when I was a little boy. I was fast. I could really run. And it was just the way I was built. You know, I wasn't a great big strong guy, but I sure could run. Hallelujah. And I was quick, and I could dodge it. I'm still pretty quick. Hallelujah. But God wants us all to make it. And God wants us to enjoy our salvation. He wants us to enjoy our fellowship with him. And he wants us to enjoy all the treasures of his kingdom. I'm going to open my Bible. I want to show you the mentality that God has. I told Brother Philip, I said, you were dancing all over my sermon this morning in your Sunday school lesson. If you're missing Sunday school, you're missing some great teaching. Amen. Deuteronomy 28:2, I'll read this to you. God said, and all the blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Woo! Blessed shall be the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks. Everything's going to be blessed. God said, blessed shall thou be when thou cometh in. Blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee away seven ways. Hallelujah. The Lord shall command his blessings upon your storehouse, upon all that you put your hand to. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord, thy God, has given thee. God bless America. God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her with the light night from above. From the mountains to the prairie, from sea to shining sea, God bless. God said, I'll bless you in the land I've given you. People say, oh, he's talking about Israel. Don't you have enough comprehension to know that God's hand has always been upon Israel? But God planted this nation, the United States of America, here. It was God that did it, and this nation is not going down. There are Christians in this nation. They are praying. We got some politicians that are all mixed up. They don't have any common sense. We got open borders. What a bunch of fools. We got people, a president up there that shut down the greatest economy that's ever been, did away with 11 million jobs on a pipeline, making all kind of foolish decisions. Now, we need some men with some spine. We need to rise up and take this nation back to God. And God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin. I'll heal your land. He's a good God. He's a loving God. And God's hand is upon America. Oh, we're backslidden. We've gone away from God. But look at the prodigal. Didn't God go running to him? Didn't God hug his neck? Didn't God kiss him? Didn't God put the best robe on him? Didn't God put new shoes on his feet? Didn't God bless him going out and coming in? He's a good God. He's a blessing God. Go on, praise God that you're in the United States of America, the land of opportunity. We got people out there with all kind of crazy stuff, critical race theory and all of that. That's a bunch of hogwash. I never had a slave. I don't know anybody that's ever had a slave. Do you know the nation of Israel came out of slavery? They were in bondage. They had a year of jubilee. You know, we had slavery, but praise God, we had a year of jubilee. We Emancipation Proclamation, and anybody that wants to come to this nation, praise God, they can make it. And if you're not making it, it's because you have a skinny goat mentality. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. This is the land of the home, the land of the free, the land of the brave. My Lord, hallelujah. God said, I'll command my blessings upon you. So you need the church, and you need a kingdom mentality, and you need a fatted calf mentality. That's what made this nation so great. Men and women that took a wilderness and carved out a nation, the greatest nation ever. And we got idiots, some of them in the church, that said that because we favored a certain candidate that we had a wrong idea. No, I favor anybody that will uphold righteousness. I don't care who they are, what color they are, where they came from, if they are citizen of this nation. And what I just do not like are those people from other nations that are trying to tell us how to run our nation. Praise God. They have no idea. They came out of slavery. They came out of bondage. They came out of socialism. I've studied economics. I've studied business. Capitalism gives everybody an opportunity. Praise God. I came out of poverty too. And I know what it is to work. I know what it is to work when I was a little boy picking up bottles so I could get enough money to go to King George's Park and go swimming. Took 10 cents. Took 5 bottles to do that. I know what it is, praise God, to go and ask for a job when I was 16. And the man says, I don't need you. And I just kept going, I kept going, I kept going. He said, you're going to come every day till I give you a job, aren't you? I said, I sure am. The man finally gave me a job. I just wear him out, praise God. Get up from where you are. Praise God, there's plenty in the Father's house. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the faith of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, talking to the church, I count not myself to apprehend it, succeeded or obtained it all. That's what he's saying there. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before. Some people in this nation, they need to forget where they came from. Amen. I go back. I'm going to keep this, brother. I got something here I need to call a handkerchief. Hallelujah. I threw up the white flag to the Lord a long time ago. Hallelujah. But, you know, you need to forget. No, don't forget your roots. Know who you are. But forget some things if you're going forward. I've had people tell me, what are you trying to do? Make something of yourself? Don't you know where you came from? I said, sure, I know where I came from. And I remind myself of that. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. Daddy worked and mother prayed and God moved us 5 times. We moved from Cotton Mill Hill to finally we were around the corner from the man that owned the hill by the time I got to high school. What a God. Hallelujah. What a great God. God says work, and if you work, God will work with you. And if you don't work, you can stay right where you are with your skinny goat mentality. Do something with what you got. Man came out of slavery, said this George Washington Carver. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. That's plenty in the Father's house. Hallelujah. Now, look at Paul. He said, I haven't succeeded. I haven't obtained it all yet. I'm forgetting the things behind. I'm reaching forth to what's before me. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love the spirit of this man. He said, I realize I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained it all, but I'm not about to quit. I'm not turning back. He said, I'm reaching forth. I'm in the press. I'm in the press, and I'm by faith, I'm pressing on to the things that are before me. Paul said, I'm pressing on in God. He said, I've laid aside every weight. I've laid aside every sin. And I'm looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. And I'm looking for everything that's in the Father's house. Hallelujah. Paul ran his race well. He finished his course. He said, I've laid up a crown of righteousness for me and for all that keep the faith. And so if Paul made it, praise God, you and I can make it. He even said in one place, he said, none of these things move me. Paul had a stability in God. That's what I want people to get, a stability in God. He said, whether I live unto the Lord. Or whether I die unto the Lord. He said, whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's and he is mine. And what's in the Father's house, hallelujah, is all waiting for me. He had a stability in his faith that pleased God. And God wants us to have an unshakable faith. You know, there comes a time when you have to totally surrender to God if you want total victory in your life. Commitment is the key. And you need to be committed because I'm going to tell you something. Your faith will be tried. It will be tested. And the devil will come to you and he will say, where is your God now? The devil will try to get you to doubt. He will try to get you off the course that you're running. He'll try to oppress you and depress you. Well, I got joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Does that mean you haven't been through hard, dark places past? No. A lot of times I'm just praising God for the victory that hadn't come yet. Woo! Hallelujah. I've done this thing long enough that I know he's going to come through for me. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy on my trail that follow me everywhere I go. And if you'll get a praise mentality and a fatted calf mentality, God's goodness and God's mercy and God's blessings will overshadow you. Lay aside the things of darkness. The devil come to you and say, why isn't God answering your prayers? Where's your God when the money runs out? You ever heard him say that? Where's your God when your marriage falls apart? Where's your God when you're sick in your body? Where's your God when your loved ones die? It's in those times that you're going to have to tell the devil, my God is where he's always been. My God is in control. And the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Whether I live unto the Lord. Whether I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. And everything that's in the Father's house belongs to me. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 12:32. I love this. This is Jesus preaching. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. He's the good shepherd. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. He's saying, all that I have is yours. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And full salvation is obtained only through constant fellowship with the Father. The elder brother, he had not fellowship with the Father. He had a skinny goat mentality. But the Father had a fatted calf mentality. And you need a fatted calf mentality. The Father said, all that I have is yours. Now, I'm going to preach on Jesus a little while. I think I got time to do that. I'm going to give it to you real quick. Hallelujah. But the Father wants us to have everything that Jesus paid for at Calvary. You're not just some old sinner saved by grace. I despise those sons. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Not me. I'm a brand new creation in Christ. And if you're born again, you're a brand new creation in Christ. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, he took my place. On the cross where he died, my sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved by grace. Somebody go on praising. Amen. You need to know who you are in God, and you need to know what is in the Father's house. Now, God revealed himself as Jehovah. That word Jehovah means the God who revealed himself. And there are 8 compound redemptive names by which God revealed himself. And you will find the complete work of the cross in these 8 compound redemptive names. Number 1, Jesus is our Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means that he is our righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin with our sin so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? It means you have a right standing with the Father, and you can go before the throne of grace, and you can obtain things from God and what's in the Father's house because Jesus has given you a right standing with the Father. Number 2, he is our Jehovah Makedesh. He is the Lord our sanctifier. That means that sin no longer has dominion over you. You may not understand it yet, but where sin did reign, life now reigns. Where death reigned, life reigns. God is a good God. That means that you are free from sin and you desire fellowship with the Father. Not to go out and sin. It means that God says, all I have is yours, and I'll sanctify you because the blood of Jesus will sanctify you wholly. You're thinking skinny goat mentality. You're thinking, well, I can't overcome this habit and I can't overcome that habit. And some of you don't even want to overcome your habits, but you'll never have what the Father's purpose for you if you don't. God is saying, all I have is yours. All of the Spirit's power, all of the Father's love, all of the riches of Christ, all of the freedom that's in Christ, they're all yours. There's nothing that I have that is not yours. And God says, you can have it all if you will fellowship with me. See, when you get sanctified by the blood and you let God do his work, you'll lose your taste for liquor. You'll lose your taste for tobacco products. You'll lose yourself for the deceitfulness of lust and its deceit. Amen. You know, sin has pleasure, but I'll tell you what, it'll strip you. The devil is a stripper. He'll strip you to nothing, but God will sanctify you wholly. Hallelujah. You need fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with the church, and you need a passion for Jesus. And if you ever get a passion for Jesus, guess what? You will be free, free, free indeed. Hallelujah. He said, all I have is yours, and nothing I have is not yours. Number 3, Jesus is Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is present. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Are all these names important? Well, names were important in the Old Testament. It described the characteristic. What are these Jehovah names? It's the God who reveals himself. And he's revealing himself right here, Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. He says, I'm with you. Isn't that wonderful to know that no matter where you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the trials of life, no matter how hard your heart is breaking and aching, Jehovah Shammah, God is there. Hallelujah. All you have to do is say Jehovah Shammah. Number four, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He is much as Jehovah Jireh, our provider when you cannot pay your bills, as he is Jehovah Jireh when you got $1 million in the bank. He is Jehovah Jireh, and he has promised I will supply all your need if you sow your seed according to my riches and go back and read it. According to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think according to the power of his word, the power of his spirit that's working in us. Hallelujah. Don't leave that part out. Five, he is Jehovah Shalom, which translated is, he is the God of peace. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There are plenty of things in the Father's house. Hallelujah. He says, I'll take care of you. Number six, Jesus is Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. But while I'm here on this planet, praise God, I want life and I want it more abundantly. I want everything Jesus paid for at Calvary. I want it here, and praise God, what he's got prepared up there has not seen, is not heard, it's not even into the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love him? Praise God. Hallelujah. Number eight. He's our Jehovah Rapha. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. He gave his back to the smiters. He did that to redeem us. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price in full at Calvary. We sang about it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. All the Father has is yours. There is nothing that the Father has that is not yours. And just like you laid hold of eternal life, you'll have to have a passion for God, and you'll have to come to him and ask. And I tell you, friend, don't die with a skinny goat mentality. If you have it, switch over to the fatted calf mentality. Because the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, my Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the one who paid.
Hallelujah.
My debt and raised.
Thank God.
Life
for amazing grace. You can come to the altar. You can talk to God right where you are.
Who paid my debt?
But I want you to get
and
a fatted calf mentality. Understand the love of the Father. God has purposed good things for your life. God has purposed blessing after blessing. There's a real devil, and he'll keep you from fellowship with the Father if you let him, and he'll keep you from asking. Don't be afraid to ask God. God has plenty. He's got more than enough. And everything we've got, guess what? We're not going to take it with us anyway. Why would we need it where we're going? Hallelujah.
Jesus paid it all.
I love you, Lord.
And
worship Him.
All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, my Jesus, He paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I don't know if you ever lived in a mill village or not, but I'll tell you what it's like. It's poverty on every corner. And the people that owned the mills, they didn't pay the wages they should have. We've come a long ways in this nation. And we were just poor folk. Let me just put it. We weren't poor. We were poor folk. But I heard Mother pray, and I watched Daddy work. And something got inside of me. And I decided I will not stay in this situation. And I rose up inside. I come home from Vietnam, closed the college doors in my face, didn't give me a job, treated us like dirt. We'd fought for our country. I had no opportunity as far as man giving me an opportunity. But I kept trying, and I kept on keeping on. And finally, they opened the door to me at college here. The boy they wouldn't let in school, I graduated at the top of my class. Not because I was smart, because I applied myself. I applied myself because I wanted to do something with my life. And I was pretty successful, except for one thing. I didn't know Jesus. And when I accepted the Lord, what He had already put in me, the dreams. God is the dream maker. God put a tenacity in me to achieve something in His kingdom. Don't ever quit. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. I'm going back to college right now. I am. Why would you go to college at 75? Because I want to learn. Because I want that degree. Because I believe in education. Because God put a dream in my heart to achieve it. You're never too old if you got health to achieve anything. If you got a mind about you, use it. God paid it all. Everything in the Father's house is yours.
Hallelujah.
You got to work for it. You got to fellowship.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Paid it all. Yes, now all to Him.
You got to pray it in. That's work.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed.
Tell about three people on your way out. You're blessed and highly favored of God. You're blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. And all that's in the Father's house is yours. There's nothing in the Father's house that is not yours. Hallelujah.